Well, welcome back to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan. I'm going to be your host as we dive into the Bible today, looking at what it means to follow Jesus in our busy commuting lifestyle. Yesterday, I told you a little bit about why I was standing in a cemetery, and that was because I wanted you to think a little bit about unhappy circumstances, unhappy times, like times that people mourn, and to think about what could possibly make you happy in those circumstances. Well, today we look at the second time Jesus said a blessed saying in the Sermon on the Mount, which we can find in the book of Matthew. And his second beatitude or blessed saying was, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Maybe it's making a little more sense now why I'm standing in a cemetery. It's a strange thing to say. For Jesus to say, "Blessed are those who mourn," is essentially him saying, happy are those who mourn, or when we think about it, happy are those who are unhappy. It sounds absurd. By definition, people who mourn should be unhappy. So how can Jesus be saying happy are those who are unhappy? Ask anybody about their definition of mourning and you'll hear the same thing. It's an unhappy time. It's a time of sorrow, sadness. Well, Jesus knows that. Jesus wasn't saying something ridiculous he had no foundation for. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he said, "Blessed are those who mourn." He's beginning his Sermon on the Mount. He's beginning a time when he's going to teach us all about his way of life, what he calls his kingdom, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And he knows the kingdom of heaven is not like the kingdom of this world. In this world, we have pain and sorrow and death. We have mourning, we have sadness. But we weren't created for that world. We were created for God's kind of world, God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, there is no sorrow, there is no pain, there is no death, there is no mourning. We're going to learn more about that as we explore the Sermon on the Mount. It's all about God's kingdom. But for now, we're just going to think about how he's describing a world we were created for. He's describing a world without pain, without sorrow, without death. He's describing a world without sin. Now, I know sin is a challenging word, and if you're not quite sure what I mean when I talk about sin, our Christianity 101 course has a great introduction to that word. You'll find that if you just scroll through the topics, you'll find some topics about what's wrong with us and our world. But for now, I want you to know that Jesus' kingdom, it's a world without sin, and at its simplest, we'll say sin is missing the mark that God created. Whenever we miss that mark, whenever we don't love God back, that's sin. We most commonly do it by putting other things in God's place in our lives. He's meant to be at the center, but we can take all sorts of things in this world, even good ones, and we can start to put them at the center and try to live for them in our lives, and that's when those things become sin. Sin is what separated us from God and his plan for us and our world. And Jesus intends to do something about sin. The world that Jesus rightfully should know and experience, that we know as the kingdom of heaven, is something that he intends for us to experience yet again. It's not something that's been taken away from us forever, but Jesus himself came to our world to do something about sin. Well, our question for you to look at today, before we look in more depth at this tomorrow, is what does this beatitude tell you about God? Why would Jesus teach this? What kind of hope might he be wanting to give his followers and us? You can explore that on your own, but the best thing to do is to join with other people in a group. Find somebody else on the train or bus or somebody from work, somebody from your neighborhood, and start exploring these topics with them. Have a good discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.